Hello.
I'm a bit out of breath.
You've been unloading flour.
It's amazing. 25 kilograms of flour up three flights of stairs is quite lungy.
Quite lungy, yes.
Hard G. I feel like I need a break. I'm not cut out to be a baker.
I think probably most bakeries are not three floors up.
Oh, good point.
Maybe
I should talk to the people on the first floor.
Yeah, can we swap flats? Just for the mixy bit, not for the rest of it.
Exactly. I can just put a mixer down on there in their lounge somewhere, in their living room.
They're probably not even using it.
Can you imagine? People. This is a podcast in which two friends talk about the pleasures, absurdities, and imperfections of being human. I'm Simon Ellis.
And I'm Lee Miller. Welcome to Midlifing. You seem to have had quite a few days. Can you take me through what's been happening?
Well, I'll start at the end because that's, you know, once upon a time.
Oh, well, I quite like, yes.
Once upon a time, the Death Star was destroyed.
Right. Okay. So you're going for a nice, like, one of those, like, oh, look at us. I'm Quentin Tarantino. I'm starting at the end and then we'll figure it all out.
And then we'll rewind back to the beginning. So yesterday was strange because, I had 1 hour's sleep the night before.
So I want to know why.
So we had.
Oh, when you get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. I had 1 hour's sleep and arrived at Rome Airport, so Fiumicino, I think it's called. Fiumicino, I never quite know how to say that word. And I was very proud, sidebar,
before you carry on. Isn't it interesting that airports sometimes have proper names that nobody ever says?
Yeah, they just say Rome Airport.
Exactly. Lisbon Airport, no. Umberto Delgado Airport.
I know. Umberto gets short change, doesn't he?
I know. I don't even know who he is, but he's got a whole airport.
We should look him up right now and you can stick him in the show notes.
No, what if he's a bad man?
Probably. Probably.
Okay. So, probably 1 hour sleep.
Yeah, so...
Not in Portugal.
So the thing... Okay, yeah, good point. He was a communist. It's either one or the other.
Exactly.
Frankly. If you've got your name on an airport, what if that? I mean, given the way you're going at work, it might end up that.
Oh, shut up!
So, the fact that I'm even at the airport, because I was supposed to be on a ferry last night.
Whoa.
I was supposed to go to. Yeah, I know. That's why it has to go a long way back. So I'm going to finish. I'm going to start at the end. I don't know how interesting the story is, but the thing is about what I did, I made a mistake, and you know this mistake, which is I completely forgot to check in to my second flight. I had two flights yesterday, and when I got to Rome Airport, this is check-in to the second one, it said, you're too late to check-in, you have to go into the check-in counter. And by this stage, I'd already gone into the transits area and had effectively gone through customs, meaning I'd gone from Italy, outside of Italy, into that Netherland, which is not in another country.
You are airside at this point, not landside, I think is what it's called.
Really? I did not know that.
This
is why I podcast with you, is to learn these things.
You know, Bob and I did a PhD a significant amount of it was about the notion of place and space and placelessness and kind of being...
I thought it was about getting married in a petrol station or remarried in a petrol station.
Yes, which was the articulation of a question around placelessness and the Augean concept of the non-place. You know that. You're just being naughty.
Oh, I love that we got a bit of Auge into the...
I said Augean.
I know.
But...
next leveled it, didn't you?
I so did. But after we did the PhD... I toasted. After we did that, we hung around with a non-place research group for a little while.
Oh, I mean, that sounds like fun.
There were some really interesting people. There were architects, cultural geographers, all sorts of folk who were interested in this idea. And they organised one of the seminars that we went to at Stansted Airport, but they organised it airside. So we had to go through sort of security and then, in order to go to this seminar.
You wouldn't be able to do that these days because you'd need a boarding pass.
Well, I don't know. That might be true, but they organised it with the airport.
That was pre 9/11, wasn't it?
No, it was just after 9/11.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so... but perhaps it was definitely before everything was mechanized and barcoded. So things were still printed out, so it was possible to just sort of have a piece of paper. Whereas, you know, now everything is on an app.
Yes, I found out yesterday it didn't have to be, but anyway.
Oh, okay, right. So there you are. You're at your second thing, your airside, not landside, and you're told you need to reroute your feet.
Well, no, something happened just before then. In fact, just before I messaged you to say, everyone I messaged Lee because I figured he was my local airport expert. And he gave me an Augean answer, which didn't mean anything to me. No, that's
I
not
said
true.
There's probably an app.
Yeah. So the thing about going to Rome airport's a little bit, I mean, like airports when you haven't spent a lot of time in them, they're incredibly confusing places. But one thing I know about Rome airport is where the Venke store is.
The Venke store? Tell me more.
Well, Venke is a chocolate maker. And it's also where they sell very, very nice ice creams. So this is, just to be clear, this is at 8:30 in the morning. And I was very proud of myself because I made it past the Venke store without buying an ice cream.
That's pretty impressive.
Pretty impressive.
And I mean, everybody needs to remember Simon and Sugar are bedfellows.
Yeah, we make sweet love all the time.
You make sweet something.
Yeah, sweet teeth. And so I called the people. This is the second airline. Oh. And they said, no, you have to go out. And meaning go out of the airport and come back in and check in.
Yeah.
So I found my way out, which wasn't easy. Went through customs again. So now I'm back in Italy.
Nice.
Check in. She says, the scales don't work. And I said, well, it doesn't matter because I'm taking my suitcase with me. She said, fine. And then I went back in through customs. So now I'm out of Italy again. So I went out of Italy, into Italy, and back out of Italy in the space.
Did you get a stamp each time?
I did.
Oh, no way! That's an extra page out of your book gone.
And I realized I could have. I've got a very fat book and also don't travel that much. And I realized I could have. And I actually thought Lee Miller and I could totally play a game where we arrive at separate airports at the same time and see how many times we can pass backwards and out.
Now, unlike
there was
you.
No reason why I could have. I didn't have to stop there. I could have just kept going backwards and forwards.
Yeah. No, but, I have to say, I can't afford the pages in my book for that.
The problem, of course, is that I went past the Venke store again.
Oh, no!
And no, I did not. I wasn't able to resist.
Well, I mean, it's only fair that you treat yourself. You've just come to a new country.
Exactly. And
or left a new country.
The best thing about the Venke store is, of course, is the there's two young women, as they always are. I don't think I've ever seen a young man, or certainly an older man or woman, serving behind a Venke counter. I'm sure there are exceptions to prove the rule, as they say. And it's a weird thing, and it's very. I think it's probably the same in Portugal, where you buy the thing first and then you go and choose it.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's quite normal, I think, in ice cream shops, isn't it?
It's quite normal in Italy in general.
Yes. Okay, to pay the money and then go along and make your choice.
Yeah, which is, of course is terrifying because it means the person who's, if you don't know the language, you can't point at the thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because you've got to say, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. But the thing about the Venke store is that the tassa, which is the, or is it cassa? Tassa is the cash register. I'm just having a little brain. I'm just going to look it up. Okay. We've got time, haven't we?
All the time in the world.
Mm-hmm.
as Louis Armstrong once sang.
Ah, so no, the casa, the casa.
All the time.
Wait.
In the world.
Yeah, the casa. So the casa is right next to where the ice cream is being served. And so most English, because everyone's pretty much who goes there is speaking English, go to the ice cream counter and then are told to pay first, where they have to move themselves across about 1 meter and then to pay. And being a Venki
aficionado, expert, OG,
all of those things. imagine being a Venki original gangster. I knew.
Hey,
and I
just be careful.
And of course, I ordered an Italian. And I mean, as
molto
I would.
Molto bene.
Right? Yeah, molto bene. Exactly, molto bene. And molto buono. And
multi beanos.
How could it go wrong? And she said to me in Italian, no, in English, because of course I don't exactly look Italian. She said to me, or maybe I sounded like a, you know. And she said, would you like one of these cones? And I said to her, conosci la parola upselling?
What does that mean?
Well, do you know the word upselling?
Upselling. Oh, yeah. Right, yeah.
And I said, non mi piace upselling. And which is, I don't like upselling. And
right.
And she started laughing. And then she goes, but it's very good. So she switched into Italian by this stage. This is a major win, right? When you're persisting with the language that you don't speak.
And
the person who speaks very good English. Right. It's a
Yeah.
In fact, I'd say it's a major win.
Yeah.
Small victories, right?
No, I totally agree with you. I was out with my good friend Delanda, who is a native Portuguese speaker, and we never speak in Portuguese to one another because her English is
so
frankly
good. Yeah.
I mean, excellent. It's it's the kind of nuance that you dream of in your own language, leave alone in a second language.
Isn't it so what an incredible. And also the thing about that is that if you've started even just the very beginnings of a language, it dawns on you that this person has spent an enormous amount of time.
Yeah.
And it's not just happened to them. It hasn't. They have studied their asses off and they've put themselves in incredibly complex and difficult situations in order.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'd gone out for cocktails. We were a little bit drunk. I think I talked about these cocktails maybe last week or the week before. These are the ones I didn't pay for, and she just nodded to the bar. Yeah.
That was, the cocktail episode.
It was the cocktail episode. Mm. That's right. So that's 2 weeks ago, I think.
We didn't get an invite, did we, from Josh and Craig to go and
wake
them up?
I'll circle back to Craig's offer.
Woo!
But we got into an Uber because we were going to the other side of town to the chicken shop that you and I had dinner at. Because I'd been threatening to take Delanda to the chicken shop, and we were just drunk enough to think that was a really good idea, but we were both too tired to walk across town. I mean, it's not that far. It's maybe 40 minutes. But
yeah,
we were just like...
In that state, that's hard, isn't it? Hard to make good decisions.
We also didn't want to lose our buzz, I think. We wanted to get straight onto the wine. But we sat into the... It was an Uber. I ordered the Uber, and we got in. And we climbed into the Uber, and the guy was... not a native Portuguese speaker, but he was doing his best to speak in Portuguese. He was, I think he might have been from South Asia, based on his name and his accent. But he was doing really trying his best Portuguese. And we were talking to one another in English as we got into the Uber. And he was like, oh, thank God I can revert to English. And he sort of just checked things in English. And Delanda was like, nope, you both have to speak to one another in Portuguese because
did
you're
Delanda
both
say this
learning.
In English?
She said it in English. Now, come on, you two, try your Portuguese.
That's fucking great. That is great.
Yeah, and then... And this has never happened. Delanda spoke to me in Portuguese, and we were like, it was quite good because she wasn't cross with me for being shit. Anyway, that was me saying, yes, a win is a win. And she was talking to you now in Italian. She's saying, upselling, but it's
exactly.
very good.
And then she says, I said this cone, that special cone, I just said, è troppo, or sarebbe troppo. It would be too much, right? And she smiled and she goes, la prima colazione, meaning the first breakfast.
The first breakfast.
Exactly. And I said, no, la seconda. It's the second. Anyway, so I had my ice cream, felt very chuffed about. I can't remember whether I'm in Italy or, no, I must be airside.
You're not in Italy, you're airside at this point. So you are, you were doing a very impressive job of speaking a language that you didn't need to.
Correct. And
you should have technically been speaking airside.
Exactly, airside language, which of course is, as everyone knows, English.
English.
And then, you know, things went on, and I went past the Venky store a third time and didn't buy an ice cream. So that's one out of three. I think if I can get past gelateria in general and only buy an ice cream at every third one, I think that is a win.
I mean, your pancreas will thank you.
I wonder how it would thank me.
Like, well, it's something email. About diabetes, isn't it? I guess it wouldn't shit out through your bumhole. And then you'd need one of those new plastic ones that they're giving everyone.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So, yeah, I got home. So that was my airport experience was... Yeah, and so, yeah.
That hasn't told us why you only had an hour's sleep.
Okay, it's true.
Because I am curious about this, Simon.
So we had a very difficult day. This is Thursday in Italy, and this is the third performance of this new work, which is called Carasacare, which is the Sardinian word for carnevale, which of course is the Italian word for carnival.
Carasacare.
Carasacare, nice.
And Carasacare.
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 Listen to you. You roll those R's, motherfucker. And and show title. And we had a very difficult day. We had a very difficult day because, well, it doesn't really matter except one of the composer who also plays the music live digitally was very sick and was in the hospital.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, and so there was basically a day of we're going to have to cancel the show. The show's cancelled. No, maybe it's going to, you know, it was one of those incredibly stressful situations. That's actually something I would like to talk about in this episode.
Oh, we might have to talk about it next week at this rate.
We're not making good progress on this. That's why you should start at the beginning and not at the end. Mm. Yeah, so just a really stressful day. Anyway, and so the show happened, and not without a hitch, as they say, but it happened. And then I just mucked in the sense that, you know, it takes you have to bump out. Like, it's an incredibly demanding show. It's 80 minutes, maybe it's, 80 minutes long, incredibly physically demanding for them. And then they have to pack out, and it's a big show. It's not the kind of shows I've made or would want to make, frankly.
Where you walk into a room, it's curtains that are already hung. It's like, what's
this
the lighting
do.
State that you've got? Yeah, that'll work. Exactly. Just put something in the legs. Don't
just
worry about it.
Just turn the workers on. Yeah.
Just pretty much, have you got a torch? Just shine it on me.
If I think of that work that Colin Poole and I made years ago, maybe 12 years ago, called Because We Care. The whole thing traveled in a single suitcase. Not a big suitcase, a little suitcase. That was.
And wasn't it just like a doll that was in that suitcase?
Yeah, and our costumes.
I don't even remember you wearing costumes. I don't mean that in a pervy way. I mean, I'm not imagining you and Colin stalkers.
Yeah, I wouldn't. It was always.
I don't want to move on.
Yeah, I was used to. Anyway, yeah. So, yeah, it's a big. And so it takes a lot to pack out. It's also messy. It's messy. Like, there's a lot of cleaning that happens. There's water, and so everything has to be dried, and, you know.
Jiminy crickets.
Yeah. It's good. It's really good. And so we didn't get out of the theatre until 1 a.m., 1:30. And then, of course, we'd had pizza was ordered at this other place. So we went and just sat around and had pizza and cold pizza and cold chips. They put chips on pizzas in Sardinia. It's quite a common thing.
I don't hate that.
I get it now. If you've never tried it, listeners, give it a go. And not potato chips, crisps, not crisps, as they say in this country, hot chips. And then I got home. I got back to my apartment at 3 and was in bed by 20 past 3. But the thing is, because of how stressful the day had been, I was really quite wired. And I hadn't performed. I just sat there taking a few notes, like, mm-hmm. you know, go there, do that, more of this, mm-hmm. less of that. Which, of course, is why I'm paid the big bucks.
Absolutely. Less jump higher.
Yeah, exactly.
Dance faster.
Bend more.
Do more spinning.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then every now and then you'll put something like, that moment needed more something. Groundedness.
The
you use a word like that.
Or it
like,
needs some kind of Orgean sense of non-space.
You need to locate your root chakra and then roll up through the remaining chakras until you find your crown chakra shining.
It's like you've been looking over my shoulder as I take the notes. There was no mention of chakras.
It's not fair that I tease because we all write really, really weird shit to people when we're giving feedback on performance, don't we?
What do you mean we, motherfucker? Sorry.
I mean you.
I've been swearing a lot. I'm excited to talk to you. I'm also really excited to be home, I have to say. And so, yeah, I was wired and I was lying in bed thinking I've got to get up in an hour and there's no way because I had to get to the bus stop and get the bus to the airport and there is no way I'm going to fall asleep. No way. And poof. And then that feeling when an alarm goes off after yeah. you've just slept such a short time. And I was yeah. just like it's like being punched. It is yeah. just that. And so I got out the door and just kept, I think I have a sore neck from my head lolling. So, yeah, it was a very, very, very strange day. And so I did sleep pretty much all the time between now and getting home and then was in bed by 8:30 and then slept to 7:30, and which is really weird for me. It's really weird to sleep that long. So, yeah, I feel good, but maybe we'll just save that for next week, that thing about stress.
I would like to return to it because I think there's some, you know, there's definitely a definite big conversation in there.
Yeah, it was rich in terms of, I'll just save it for next week. I just want to just, I haven't finished the bit about why the hell I was in an airport in the first place.
Yeah, why are we not on a ferry? Don't worry, I'd not forgotten.
Right, so I'd forgotten that. So I was supposed to take a ferry last night from Porto Torres, which is in the northwest of Sardinia, to Genoa or Geneva, I think. I never can remember. I think is in Italy they call it Geneva. Yes. I can never remember. Anyway, which is a long ferry ride. And then I was going to be taking a train to Milan and then a train to Paris, staying the night in Paris and then taking the train from Paris to London. And I would have been home tomorrow, which is, for listeners, would have been Sunday. So it's effectively nearly 48 hours of travel. But there's been a massive landslide between in the Alps between Paris and Milan, and they think it's going to take a year to fix, which means there are no trains. And so,
wow,
yeah, and so my train was cancelled, and so then I thought I can't get from Genoa to Paris. So what I thought I'd do is I would fly from Genoa to Birmingham. And then I booked a flight, couldn't get a direct flight from anywhere close to Genoa, to Birmingham, or even, in fact, London was even tricky, bizarrely. It's bizarre, actually. And I got a flight to Amsterdam and then in Amsterdam to Birmingham. But then they cancelled my Amsterdam flight, stuck me on one for Monday. So I don't know what the airline thought I was going to do for 3 days or 2 days or whatever it was in Genoa, but anyway. And so then I thought, fuck this. I've had it. My travel has been so difficult. And so I took a flight direct from Sardinia to Rome and then Rome to Birmingham. So I gave up and it's cost me so much money. I mean, that's the sort of least important thing. But yeah, they traveling not by airplane is so difficult.
¶¶
I've been a mixer of metaphors for many years, and I've started to just swing with it.
Upside down pineapple. Okay, so I'm so sorry. That was so childish.
I love that you know the emoji.
And I love that you know as well.
I didn't. I just assumed that's exactly what it was. Maybe you could just respond in emojis.
I was going to say it's hard to type, but I realized I could just go aubergine, squirty water, squirty water,
peaches,
peach, two cherries, cloud.
Well, what's that?
Usually, if I send a cloud, it means I've done a fart.
But what does it?
Because I would put a peach and then a cloud, so it would be like fart.
Who do you message to tell that, other than Bob? Is this a senior management thing at the university? Where are you, Falmouth?
I just jump onto Teams so everybody's kept aware. Give my desk a wide berth, peach. Blowy air symbol. Oh, I think on that bombshell.
We should totally stop there.